Blog Talk Radio.
Sunshine, lollipops and rainbows, everything that's wonderful is what I feel, and we're together brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near the ring of disappears here, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My lucky sunshine, lollipops and rainbows that tell the street, bring us up, come on, everybody, everybody, sunshine, lollipops.
Franklin, New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan, and I hope everyone is well tonight, and we're ready to go.
Yes, the debt ceiling fight looms. Tomorrow, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, is meeting with Republican Speaker, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Will there be compromise, or will there be a government shutdown again? Democrats have the upper hand because of a history of caving to Republican demands. It's put up or shut up time. Will good sense prevail, or will America suffer because of Republican selfishness? Thanks for joining us and as we discuss this and other hot button issues affecting America. Call in and have your say. We're at 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling from. Please have all your TV and background noises muted as a distraction. We're defenders of democracy, and we're doing our part of saving America from Republican fascism. Visit our website at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So now, the recession looms, and concerns growing as deadline looms. And here's CBS reporting on what is happening. And here is a little clip.
Mm-hmm. Right now, recession concerns are growing as the debt limit deadline looms.
Oh, yes. We've been talking about it for many, many months now. Austin is at the alert desk with what is at stake. Austin, you know, there's an important meeting this week on this.
Yeah, and it's happening once again here at the White House, where President Joe Biden will be meeting with top congressional leaders to discuss the debt ceiling here. Now, the Treasury Secretary recently warned that the U.S. could default on its obligations as soon as June 1st. So now under a month, and that's if Congress does not find a solution here. Now, McCarthy and House Republicans, by the way, they'll be attending this meeting. They say they will raise the debt limit $1.5 trillion if cuts are made to the budget. Let's go to pre-COVID spending levels. Everybody understands why we had to ratchet up spending to respond to the pandemic. We all get that. But the pandemic is now over. It's time to bring spending levels back to pre-COVID.
You know, Austin, in listening to all of that, concerns certainly growing about a recession. But realistically, though, like I said, we've been talking about it for months now. What do experts expect it to happen? Is there a date, if at all?
Well, listen, and the important thing here is exactly what could lead up to a possible recession. Mm-hmm. Well, experts say that because of the looming debt ceiling breach, that could cut thousands of jobs.
Right.
So economists are saying we could possibly see a recession by the second half of the year. By the way, credit cards, that's a really big thing folks are talking about right now. Analysts are anticipating that credit card balances will pass $1 trillion for the first time in history this year.
My goodness.
Man, yeah. We're talking about a recession for 2 years, too.
Right. That's a valid point, though. If this debt ceiling thing doesn't get solved soon, that's just going to throw us into a recession.
Right. We'll have to see what happens in this meeting here, too, this week.
Sooner than later. Yeah. Okay, Austin, thank you.
So Republicans don't really care about, you know, helping Joe Biden and working with him, and they want to see the economy crash. Your thoughts, Lori?
Well, Kevin McCarthy did say that he thinks that the sides are still far apart. And the funny thing is that since when do they negotiate the debt ceiling? I mean, when Trump was president, they raised it three times, three separate times. All of a sudden, the Republicans are worried about fiscal responsibility and the debt limit.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is a sabotage. And all they're trying to do is make the Biden administration try to look like they're incompetent and they're failing and they're not doing what they should be doing for our country. And that's absolutely not the case. So I do think that President Biden has a plan. I really do.
Exactly. And what happens if the U.S. Defaults on its debts? Well, experts and lawmakers have warned of disastrous effects to the economy if the federal government defaults, while experts expect the nation could see a recession sometime later this year, as the report said. They warn a federal default would likely speed up that timeline, raising the threat of a drastic slowdown. According to New York University economic professor Mark Gertler, he said that it would affect lending and borrowing and financial markets, adding that the combination of less borrowing and less spending would trigger recession. So Republicans salivating over the fact that, you know, they have the upper hand in the House in terms of how many seats that they have and everything, and this could make or break the deal. When Republican Trump was in there three times, nothing. George Bush was there. He got a free pass. You know, so the only reason, according to Donald Trump, when he had that silly town hall meeting with CNN, you know, and the reporter asked him, why not work with Democrats to raise the debt limit? He said, well, because Joe Biden is a Democrat. So they mean no good to America. You know, and it's disgusting and disgraceful what they're doing. 515-605-9802, the number you call. Remember to say first name and where you're calling from. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Good evening. This is Elaine from Michigan.
They
want to bring back the debt ceiling to where it was, tax the one percenters. And then we wouldn't even have to raise the debt ceiling. We could pay it off.
They sure could. And that's...
Added to which, we should rescind that tax cut that that Trump gave to the 1% as well, because they don't need it.
No.
That would eliminate the debt.
Yes. That was back in 2017. Think about that. You know, it's absolutely horrendous. So let's just talk a second for people that don't understand what the debt ceiling is. I think it's important for maybe if you don't really understand why this is so crucial. So I'm going to just say, what is the debt ceiling? The debt limit, also referred to as the debt ceiling or the country's borrowing limit, is a cap on how much the Treasury can owe to cover the country's bills. Raising or suspending the debt limit doesn't authorize new spending. Doing so simply allows the government to keep borrowing money to pay expenses that already were approved by the Congress and the White House. So it's not like they're adding more debt on. They're not adding debt onto this. All they're doing is trying to keep the country going, keep paying their bills, and to move the country forward. From what I can tell, Republicans do not want this. They sent McCarthy in there to do a job, and I do believe that they will push President Biden into probably having to do the 14th Amendment. I think that's where it's going to go. I really do.
Exactly. And the House Republicans introduced a bill, the Limit, Save, Grow Act of 2023 last month, that will raise that limit by $1.5 trillion through March 2024. They attach a host of partisan spending proposals to plan that most Democrats will not support, like cutting the veterans' benefit healthcare benefits by 22%. That's a no-go. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to take away Social Security and Medicare, and that's an insult to people who have been working since they were young and now want a cushion, a retirement cushion. Social Security mm-hmm. helps them. Medicare helps them. They're paid into the system. It's not an entitlement. And Republicans have this thing where they call these programs entitlements. You know, it's just dreadful what these Republicans are up to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but why does the U.S. have a debt ceiling? The debt ceiling was created through the second Liberty Bond Act of 1917, which gives the Treasury Department and the authority to issue bonds and borrow money to fund spending approved mm-hmm. by Congress and the President. According to the 2015 report from the CRS, before the second Liberty Bond Act, the Treasury Department could only borrow money and issue bonds according to specific instructions from Congress. As the size of the U.S. economy and federal budget exploded during World War I, lawmakers were unable to keep up with the volume and complexity of federal spending. So to keep the nation's finances in check, the Second Liberty Bond Act imposed a cap on how much debt the Treasury could take on the fund spending, thus creating the debt limit. So in subsequent years, changes were made to allow the Treasury to have more flexibility in debt management and to allow monetization of federal financing. You know, and the debt limit has been raised many times, 7 to 8 different occasions in the past 6 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go visit the Treasury Department, which is nonpartisan, and it gives you the details. 49 of those instances occurred under Republican administrations and 29 under Democratic administrations. So Republicans mm-hmm. have 49 compared to 29 for Democrats. You know, so mm-hmm. when the Republicans saying that, oh, they want to, you know, save, you know, spending more, as you rightly said, Lori, it's not spending more. It's mm-hmm. paying for what we're already put through, like Joe Biden's Build Back America, Build Back Better,
yeah.
with
mm-hmm.
You know, social programs with infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Republicans mm-hmm. want to take all back that money, and their solution is giving another tax cut to the wealthy, which is ridiculous, because the wealthy
yeah.
they don't put back in the economy by you know, giving pay raises to people who work for them or you know, hiring new people. What they do is put their money, those tax cuts, in foreign bank accounts and ship jobs overseas to China and Asia, which there is no labor unions. So, you know, you could, a person could work here in China for 20 cents an hour all day, every day, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just wrong. That's just wrong. And I wonder why people still vote Republican knowing all this.
Exactly. And let's just talk a second, David, about if we do default, what would happen to Social Security payments and other benefits that people get? So what they're saying is that while federal agencies would still possess legal authority provided by Congress to obligate funds, they warn federal workers could also have to worry about delayed paychecks. The Treasury would still be obligated to pay federal workers if they default, but experts say they may not be able to do so until the debt limit is raised. So even federal workers are in jeopardy. You know, your Social Security, you won't get your check. You know, the money won't be taken out for Medicare. So everything, you know, is going to be stockpiled, you know, backed up.
Mm-hmm.
They're also mm-hmm. saying that if you're on Medicaid, and I want to say I read if you were 50 and under and you were on Medicaid that you would have to work to
mm-hmm.
continue getting benefits. Now, let's talk about that for a second, because what if you're on Medicaid for a reason that you're, you know, you're sick, you lost your job and you haven't been able to find another one, or you're taking you're a caregiver for someone and you just can't get out to work, and so you're forced to be on Medicaid. There's so many reasons, you know, there's so many reasons that people are on Medicaid. It's not because they're lazy. Nobody wants to be on Medicaid. You really can't live on Medicaid. So their policies are cruel. Not only do they not care about the American people, their policies are very cruel. You know, care if you can't buy your medications at the beginning or the middle of the month or whenever you collect your Social Security. They don't care about that. They don't care if your Medicare is not paid. They don't care about, you know, these children that are going to school they don't have breakfast in the morning they need lunches so they can get breakfast and lunch, through the school. What is wrong with that? There is nothing wrong with that. It's lifting somebody.
Yeah, and imagine.
And
imagine if the stock market would just go crazy, you know, and Wall Street would go in a free fall for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And workers would be laid off en masse because they're worried about, you know, employers are worried about the economy going into free fall over the next few years because Republicans don't want to agree with Joe Biden in shoring up Medicare and Social Security and veterans benefits. You know, they want the tax cut for the wealthy. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, and we've seen in the past that tax cut for the wealthy don't really work because you ship jobs overseas. You know, I sound like a stuck record, but I have to say it over and over again for people out there who are independent voters and those who insist on voting Republican because you're not part of Wall Street, you're not one part of the 1%. Why do you vote Republican? Mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. You know, get your head out of the sand, people. Republicans don't care about you.
No. They're just telling you to go pound sand. They don't care. They absolutely do not give a shit. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can see it. It's in plain sight now. You know, before, you know, they were a little more concealing. You know, they kind of, you know, behind closed doors type things. They're out in the open now. And if you can't see what they, you know, what they are doing and what they want to do, the cruelty that they want to enforce on people, then you deserve what you get. But I don't deserve what I would get. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve what you would get. Those of us that understand don't deserve this to happen.
And these Republicans don't care because, you know, they have a lavish lifestyle where they have free health care, free benefits as a member of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it don't really affect them one iota. And that's why they don't care. They're doing it for the 1% who funnel money to their campaigns through super PACs and PACs. And we can remember back in 2011, the cost that it did and the number it did on the economy. And during that crisis, consumer confidence and the stock market plummeted big time. You know, it harmed the international reputation in the United States. It was just embarrassing all across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Washington doing to address the debt limit? Well, Republicans are lining up behind the House GOP bill, which they have called a good starting place in bipartisan debt limit talks. But the Democrats who oppose trying any spending cuts to raise the debt limit have come out in strong opposition against this plan. The House Republicans have proposed capping government spending at fiscal 2022 levels and limiting spending growth to 1% every year for the next decade, which is garbage. Other proposal featured in the bill would impose tougher work requirements for programs like Medicaid and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, put an end to popular student loan actions implemented under the Biden administration, and target parts of the signature economic bill passed by Democrats last year without GOP support. That's an infrastructure bill. So Democrats have pushed for raising debt limit in a clean bill without conditions after Republicans approved three debt limits increase under Donald Trump without reducing the debt. But Republicans have drawn red lines against raising the limit without fiscal reforms. You know, so they're fiscal conservatives when a Democrat is in the White House, but a free-for-all when Republicans in the White House, a blank check. So members expect more information about next step following Biden's scheduled meeting with Speaker McCarthy, which is tomorrow, and congressional leaders. So how much higher will the debt limit rise, you think? The national debt subject is to the borrowing limit is on track to potentially reach $52 trillion in 2033. That's according to the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan. The CBO also projected the federal budget deficit would reach $1.4 trillion in fiscal year 2023 and warned that future annual deficits would average $2 trillion over roughly the next decade. So Republicans and Democrats have offered ideas on how to address the nation's deficit, but both sides have been far apart in their approach on how to deal with it. Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
No, I was just going to say that everything will go into a free fall, just like you said. And if everyone remembers 2008, when our economy crashed, I remember President Obama, you know, helped the auto industry here in Michigan. Our housing, you know, the mortgage industry was in a free fall as well. So, if people, you know, unemployment was very high, it was a very bad time for people. People lost their homes. It was terrible. And if you remember that, think of that, and then this is worse. Because at least if you were on, you had a pension or Social Security and you had your Medicare, you know, at least you had still had some money coming in. But if you're retired and all you do is depend on your Social Security, then if this happens, you know, you won't be able to maybe eat. Some people won't be able to eat or pay for their medicine. So this is a crisis in my eyes. It's a crisis. Shame on the Republicans. Shame on them. Shame.
Yeah, because what Republicans want to do is push for defense spending increases. Why do we want defense increased spending? We're not having a Cold War. You know, we're having a proxy war with helping out Ukraine against Russia. You know, I would say how much money went into that. Trillions of dollars, billions, you know, and they want a sharp reduction in non-defense spending, what I outlined earlier in the broadcast. But Democrats want tax hike, as Elaine said, tax hikes for the wealthy to bring more revenue towards deficit reduction and boost non-defense spending, like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, such things. You know, public education, that's important. But Republicans want to get rid of Department of Education, so that's not important to them. These people are insane. They're driving me crazy. I need therapy after all this is over. 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Remember to say first name, where you're calling from, and please have your TV off or any background noise. Hey, Carla, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Welcome.
Nothing, Mike. Hey, it's Khalil from Charlottesville again.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Khalil, what's up? What do you think about the deficit?
Not good. I mean, and we're tying into this as far as people that need Social Security. A lot of disabled people do. And I'm going to say something. The way we treat disabled people anyway is like we treat them equally when it benefits us. Not us, but society treats disabled people equally. They'll punish them the same. They'll give them the same responsibilities. But once it comes to doing something to actually help them, like once, like let's say you go to jail, you're a disabled person. You don't get some of these things that, like these help things that you need when you're in jail. You don't get them, you know. And when it comes to giving you the right, they don't want to give it to you. It's like Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, if you're not disabled, or if you're the society needs to make up its mind as far as, like, Social Security and disabled people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even the church mm-hmm. I went to, they saw me as disabled when it came to going on a trip by myself, but they didn't see me as disabled when it came to following the same rules in the Bible. So I said, mm-hmm. you know, if they're going to see me as disabled when it benefits them, but not when it comes to other things, I don't need them
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely mm-hmm. right. You do not.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Khalil, do you think there'll be any progress in tomorrow's meeting between McCarthy and Biden? Will McCarthy have no option but just to fold, or?
I'm not sure. I'm hoping that they come together. I'm hoping that McCartney does what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go out and say McCarthy. Band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is, if McCarthy bends, then his crazy caucus, the Republican Party, the Marjorie Taylor Greens,
yes.
the River McForehead,
yes.
Matt Gaetz, people like that,
yeah.
They may, you know, call him up to remove him as Speaker of the House, because mm-hmm. you know, they have a no prisoners policy where, you know, it's their way or the highway. You know, and
mm-hmm.
I picture that happening, because McCarthy is between a rock and a hard place. He compromises
yes.
with Biden and don't give what Republicans in his caucus want, then he's out as Speaker, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they're putting even a more far-right lunatic than him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then that guarantees
McCarthy,
nothing will be done.
Yeah. Well, you know, David, McCarthy put himself in the position that he's in. So I don't have
mm-hmm.
any sympathy whatsoever. I truly
mm-hmm.
do not. Self into a corner. He wanted to be Speaker more than he wanted anything else, it seems, in the world. It was the most important thing
mm-hmm.
to him. It takes 15 times to become Speaker. My God. I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a couple
mm-hmm.
times. But after that, you know, it's like they don't want you as Speaker. Just get over it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
But he had to make up deals, and who knows what else he promised them. Who knows? We still don't know what
mm-hmm.
else he promised them. It's
mm-hmm.
coming to
I
light.
Look at it this way. I've got a theory on this. Hungry
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
are easy to manipulate and get a dictatorship. When people
oh,
are
yeah.
hungry, they will follow the biggest noise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not the
you
best
know.
Noise, the biggest noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that. I hope I'm
no.
wrong on that. But that's how the Republicans seem to be operating. If people
well, yeah.
are hungry, they're easier to manipulate.
Yeah, sure. They'll have
mm-hmm.
red lines and, I mean, you know, just put it there. It's, I don't understand why a party, I mean, I guess I understand, but the logical part of my thinking is, why would you want to do this to a great country that you are living in as well? And, you know, the people that vote for them, they're not all one percenters. They're not wealthy. They're on, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, you know, all of that. Their kids, some of them need school lunches. Why would they do that to their constituents? I mean, none of this makes any sense. The only thing that makes sense to me is that they are reigning in a form of fascism. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
Yeah. The only thing that
yeah,
makes
and
sense.
If they don't get their act together, if they don't get their act together by June 1st, then the financial catastrophe is going to be so huge and devastating for thousands, even millions of Americans.
No, millions, you know. Absolutely. And then let's talk a minute about Manchin. He's another one. I mean, why
oh.
is that man, he's a Democrat. I mean, honestly, oh. truly.
From the top.
You know? Huh?
No, I was talking to my cat. He's in the background. He's getting on my nerves.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. You know, Joe Manchin, is becoming a bigger problem for President Biden and the Democrats in the Senate as he faces an uphill reelection battle in West Virginia, a state where former President Trump won one of the biggest victories in 2020. Manchin has criticized Biden and Democrats publicly, opposed various nominees, and this week said he would oppose every one of the president's nominations to the Environmental Protection Act, the EPA. Before an election in which Biden is casting himself as a centrist and a stable choice for the country, Manchin accused his EPA nominees of pursuing an extreme ideology and panned the administration's plan to limit greenhouse pollution from existing power plants. The shots from inside the party are exactly what Biden doesn't want as he tries to unify Democrats ahead of the 2024 race, all at a time when the polls show his support from the public is decidedly underwhelming. So, and that's the other thing that bothers me, is the media does not lift Joe Biden up. They do not lift him up. I am sorry, but that's how I see it. They need to boast about him. And we talked about this just yesterday in our show last night. And I listened to him. He was at in Pennsylvania, and he did a speech for, I can't remember the name of the college, but at a college and for graduation. And he basically told them that, you know, white supremacists are the terrorists of the country. I mean, he has been outspoken about everything, and he's been right about many things. But yet the media does not give him the credit that's due. I mean, they should be backing him. They should be backing him for this debt ceiling and saying, yes, the president is right. We cannot default. This is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just tell it like it is. Don't sugarcoat anything. They don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The media, 99% is Republican owned. Number two, we've got to bring back the fairness doctrine. It's going to need some tweaking, but it isn't going to need no revamping.
Yep.
And that's
I know Joe Manchin from West Virginia. He chairs the Senate Energy Committee, and he is pro oil. That's why he's so anti-EPA, you know. So allies of Manchin argue that the latest maneuvers fit squarely with his off-stated line that he's standing up for a state. Well, you know, no, he's not. He's standing up for himself because the EPA is against his best interest. The EPA will put in regulations that don't suit him and his business, you know. So he will give Biden and the EPA a fight right till the end. Ever since he's been elected to the United States, he's been very anti-EPA.
He's just been very anti-Biden. That's the way I see it, you know. And he should not be a Democrat. That's the bottom line.
No.
He should not.
He's just a Democrat in name only. He's a dino.
Yeah.
He's a dino, Democrat in name only.
Exactly.
He's been a thorn in the side of Biden for a long time now. And he needs to be. He's a major player. Don't get me wrong. But he will never rise to the level of Joe Biden, and he'll never be in the class of Joe Biden. And he's even thinking, according to rumors, that, you know, he may challenge Joe Biden for the Democratic nomination, you know, and he will get unaware with that, you know.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
With that, he will not get away with that. And, you know, and the other thing, when Trump did his Trump rally on CNN, someone asked him about, you know, drilling oil, and his response was, "Drill, baby, drill." That was his response. So, I mean, that's very evident what the Republican Party wants. You know, they don't want green energy. They don't care about the environment. you know, none of that. So that's why they're after, you know, that's why they want cut, you know, and use that in the debt ceiling argument, you know, that as well.
Yeah.
And also veterans benefits, 2%. That's terrible.
To begin with, we aren't drilling wells in the United States anymore. We're putting sludge in pipelines from Canada. That's what that pipeline is about. That sludge coming out of Canada, and Canada isn't even happy about it. But somehow some big corporation got around their rules.
Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, the people ought to wake up. Their heads are. I don't know where their heads are. That is Canadian sludge. It's mixed with mud and a bunch of other crap, and it goes through a pipeline, and it's very toxic. And then it's put on ships and it's shipped overseas. So I don't know what these people are smoking or what these people are drinking, but they sure aren't thinking.
It isn't even that they're not thinking. They're just getting paid. We know that. They're being lobbied, and they're being offered, you know, millions of dollars if you do this. And Manchin is one of them, obviously. And, you know, that's what they're – and they're saying, okay. I mean, they're not saying no to money because money is more important than the environment, more important than leaving, you know, a future planet to the next generation. They don't care about that. They don't care
about
that.
No, I'm referring to the Republican voter. They are the most uneducated when it comes to current affairs. They believe the lies that are given to them. They aren't stupid people. They're just uneducated because they're getting their education from the wrong people. I mean, I run into it. You run into it. Our gas would be cheaper if we would just open the pipelines. And you look at them and you say, that sludge is coming from Canada. Is it? No, they got to open the pipeline. And that's just how they react. And then they'll repeat, open the pipeline, because that's what they've been told over and over and over by people like Manchin. Instead of him telling his people the truth.
And Jim Justice, he is the current governor of West Virginia. He's running for the Republican nomination to challenge Manchin next November in the 2024 election. And, you know, I don't know what to make of that race, because West Virginia is so tight in terms of, you know, Democrats, Republicans, and it could go either way. Even though Manchin is acting a fool and a total buffoon, I'd rather see him win than Jim Justice. Jim Justice is a former Democrat turned Republican, you know, the more seats we have, the better it is for us. But Joe Manchin, you know, I guess it's not personal between him and Joe Biden, but at the same time, he's looking out for his best economic interest. So in Santa Kirsten Cinema from Arizona saying that he's looking out for his district and his constituents in the state, that's just a load of bull, you know, because he is in oil, big oil, and, you know, he's just looking out for himself in the long run. He's always been that way. He's selfish that way. You know, and like I said,
what I'm trying to convey is the voters. The voters have got to start paying attention to what they're being told. And they're not paying attention. Joe Manchin's interest is not theirs. It's in how he's got his money invested. The same thing with all the rest of the other Republicans. And there's a couple Democrats in the mix. Well, Joe Manchin's a Democrat.
Well, people, the attention spans for people is like that of a gnat, you know? It's like, ooh, big, bright, shiny object, you know, last 10 seconds. Oh, wow, okay. You know, new media sound bites and everything. They don't take the due diligence and listen to this person, listen to that person. You know, they'll stick to one thing, which usually is Fox News or OANN. Or, you know, the Daily Beast or whoever, which has been proven time and time again to give
rubbish information to their listeners and everything. But, you know, once you're gullible and you're not educated and basically you're stupid and ignorant and one-sided and one way, then you can continue listening to the right-wing media. And, you know,
no,
when things get real messed up, then...
They go to their social clubs and they distribute literature with the same propaganda. They go to social clubs, they go to senior centers, and they keep repeating the propaganda over and over and over. I know, I've been there, I have seen it, I have listened to it. And it's got to stop. We have got to fight back.
Oh, absolutely, but
yeah, but how do Democrats fight back against such ignorance? Because if
they
try to reason with these people,
they go to the same places and tell the people the other side of the story. They don't sit. The problem with many of the Democrats is they sit back and complain, and that's all they do.
Okay, that's all well and good, but
I'm
when you try
out.
To
I'm
have,
burned out. I don't know anymore what I can do. But that isn't fair for me to always take and go here, go there, say this, say that, write different articles. What the hell is the matter with the rest of the Democrats? If everybody would do a little job, then it would get done. But the Republicans seem to manage it, don't they?
Okay, I'm saying
angry
that we're
at what's going on. You can tell by the tone of my voice. I am angry that we aren't doing enough.
Okay, my point is you try to, you know, go to these same places and reason and tell the other side of the story with these people, but what they try to do is shout and scream over you. So, you know, I mean, who wants that? You know, so
not
if you want to be ignorant and
not
stupid.
Not necessarily. You can start leaving literature people read. You can start leaving pamphlets. You can go and you can entertain them. You can tell them that you're a Democrat. You're there to entertain them. You're there to talk to them, just exactly how they do. You don't need to have a soapbox. You don't need to give a political speech. They don't
but
go
I've
there
been
and
there. I've done that, and several
they
people
go and
have visit, known.
And
I've
they sit and hold people's hands, and they spew their lies. They don't go. They don't have a regular meeting or a regular rally.
Okay, and then you're not trying to make a point, but you keep going on and on and on.
I'm sorry. But I've been there. I've seen it. I know how it's done.
Okay, Ron DeSantis. He promoted. Ron DeSantis promoted fundraiser for a man accused of strangling a passenger to death on a subway. As you know. Daniel Penny has been supported by several Republicans. He has been charged with manslaughter recently in New York City in the death of Jordan Neely. Florida Republican Ron DeSantis is raising money for Daniel Perry, the Marine Corps veteran who has been charged with strangling to death Jordan Neely, a homeless street performer, on the subway this past May 1st. And DeSantis tweeted on May 12th, with a link to a fundraising page for Penny's legal defense and an image of Penny's in military fatigue. And I quote, "Let's show this Marine America got his back," end quote. Yeah. You know, so imagine if that were a black man or a brown man who strangled a white person. Would DeSantis have done the same thing? Of course not. So DeSantis is one of the number of Republicans elected, both defending and fundraising for Penny, who has been charged Friday, this past Friday, with second-degree manslaughter and Neely's death. Lori.
Yeah, I find it appalling because you're right. If that young man would have been opposite, you know, in an opposite situation, he would already be in jail, in prison, awaiting trial. That's the way I look at it. And the only reason I think that he was charged is because there was so much outcry and there was protesting in New York for a couple weeks, and that is why they decided they had to do something. And I also think that second-degree manslaughter is not enough. It should have been first-degree manslaughter. If you watched that video, and I've watched it several times. The young man that was on the floor was no threat to anybody. He came into the subway. He was mad. He was hungry. He has mental problems. Yes, he was screaming. He was yelling. He did not have anything in his hands. He didn't touch anybody. And still, they decided to, three men, the two had his arms, and the other man, was the Marine, was, you know, had him in a chokehold. Now, we know that you can't be in a chokehold for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I mean, I know you can't call it murder because it was not pre-planned, but I just don't understand what the deal is here. I mean, what is so difficult? And what is, I mean, DeSantis should be ashamed of himself. If he wants to run for president, and he does want to run for president, is he going to do this kind of stuff when he's president? I mean,
well,
really?
Yes. Yeah, look what Trump did. You know,
yes.
They're good people on both sides. Remember that fiasco?
Yes.
You know, but the thing is, the sad part about this thing, the strangling thing, is people on a train when that guy was strangling Neely, you know,
mm-hmm.
people were helping the guy strangle him. You know, because Neely was, like, trying to fight back and get out of it. And this other one, other guy, white guy, was holding
there
his hands when he was trying to fight him out. You know, fight.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So
yes.
What happened to that person, for example, accessory to manslaughter? Why is he not charged?
Exactly. No, I think there were two of them, David. There were two of them that were holding his hands. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't – I feel they should be charged as well. I mean, they were on
mm-hmm.
the floor with him for 15 minutes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing, the whole thing is wrong, you know. And this
mm-hmm.
is why, you know, people of color are angry, and I don't blame them. This makes me very angry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone loses their temper. Look at all the Karens that we see every time, you know, all over the place. There's Karens everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, male Karens,
mm-hmm.
female Karens. They scream, they yell, there's a drive-through, everything. Do they get in a chokehold?
Mm-hmm.
Do they get killed? No. No.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I think this is kind of like a vigilante thing. This is my opinion. I feel
mm-hmm.
that he's like vigilante. And if he wasn't charged, and let's say when he goes to trial, if he gets away with this, it's just going to tell other
mm-hmm.
people that you're a vigilante and you can get away with it. That's my opinion.
My question
mm-hmm.
is this. That chokehold is taught to Marines for self-preservation in war.
Mm-hmm.
It is
mm-hmm.
taught to them on how to take down and quietly murder another person.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what he did.
And I'm not going any further with that remark. That is
yeah.
what that's up to
mm-hmm.
the prosecutors of New York to bring out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and to raise money for his defense fund is
over $1 million so far.
I think almost $2 million, I think. But
wow.
I'm just saying,
okay.
to raise money for his defense fund, that really says something to me. It just says that
mm-hmm.
we are going in the wrong direction in every single aspect of our lives. We really are,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how this is going to go down. And I'm not just talking about this
mm-hmm.
incident. I'm talking about in general in this country.
Mm-hmm,
another
mm-hmm.
Ritter Hall?
According to Raven McForehead, Matt Gates in Florida, he tweeted May 12, Subway Superman Daniel Penny is a hero. Today, I will personally be donating to his legal defense fund on
yeah.
Give, Send, Go. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Did they...
Dan Crenshaw from Texas criticized Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, whose office charged Penny, which is a good thing,
Congresswoman Ronnie Jackson, another idiot from Texas, tweeted Thursday, Alvin Bragg is a terrible person. It's despicable to see that Marine veteran Daniel Perry will be charged. He kept the passenger on the subway car safe. He should be a free man. No, he murdered somebody.
Nope.
He strangled them to death.
No.
Mike Collins,
no.
Republican, Georgia, congressman. God bless our Marines. Daniel Penny has been wrongfully arrested for protecting himself and his fellow subway passengers. He should be released immediately. So these sons of bitches, you know, who, you know, have white supremacists as their supporters, neo-Nazis, what have you, it shouldn't be no surprise that they're defending Daniel Penny, this lunatic, you know, because, for example, Paul Gosar, the congressman from Arizona, he's far right. His digital director is Nick Fuentes. He's a white supremacist leader, but yet still, you know, he's a digital director for Congressman Paul Gosar's office. I mean, why would any woman, any black person, any Latina vote for Paul Gosar in Arizona or any Republican? Let's show the hands. Just show us who they are. When people tell you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
You know, you have a white supremacist in your office staff. My God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eisenhower fought against people like this, but yet still, the current Republican Party embracing people like this. I could be turning over in his grave to see what the Republican Party has turned into. So this drastically extreme conservative movement that it has become. It's sometimes easy to forget how radical the Republican Party truly is and what kind of vicious ideology it's welcoming. You know, it's sickening.
Mm-hmm.
It's disheartening.
It is.
You know, and this guy has been the digital director since 2021, you know, and he's a soldier in the white supremacist army. You know, I don't know. What's your thoughts?
He's a leader. He leads what is known as the Groyper Army, a loosely organized far-right group dedicated towards white nationalism and hate. GPM has found Sarah, a loyal Gosar staffer, to be a strong subscriber and equally, if not more, loyal to Fuentes and his white supremacist movement. So yes, now it's in our it's right there in our government. Why? This was breaking news. I just found this out today. This is just from today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm. His group has been part of the violent events of January 6th. He has expressed Holocaust denialism. He promotes white supremacy, white nationalism. He's pretty strong anti-woman in his bigotry.
Yeah.
He calls for a kind of return to the 12th century Catholicism, you know, where women should be seen but not heard. I mean, my God. Mm-hmm. And Kapal Gosert, who may be in a running to be the next Speaker of the House if McCarthy is booted out. Imagine this asshole as Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
You know? What is happening in America, man?
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like we're on this, I feel like we're on, you know, we're on a train and we're heading somewhere, but we're going to be going off a cliff pretty soon because when I see and read things like this, I just can't understand how can this be? I mean, Gosart knows they know the history of Nazis. They know the history of fascism. Why would they want it in the country? I don't get it.
This
white
guy,
power.
Nick Fuentes, was the one. White power, exactly. Nick Fuentes is the one who depicted Gosart using a sword and cutting Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's head off. And that's why Gosart was censored before the Republicans came to power and everything. And, you know, instead of firing Fuentes, he just dug his heels deeper and deeper, being resentful you know, and being, you know, against, you know, being normal. You know, he's promoting mm-hmm. white, you know, supremacy, basically. As mm-hmm. a congressperson, you know, John Boehner, yeah. when he came out as Speaker of the House and retired as Speaker of the House, he did say that mm-hmm. he can hand pick out and point out people who are white supremacists and members of Ku Klux Klan. And it wouldn't shock mm-hmm. me if Paul Gosar wasn't one of them, you know?
Oh, no. Me.
It is disturbing no. that we'll have people like that yeah. in the U.S. House of Representatives. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe even the U.S. Senate. You know, it's appalling.
Yeah.
It's great, disgraceful. It's frightening. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have
yeah.
it in the armed forces. We'll have it in all the police forces across America. You know, these white supremacists, you know, have one
mm-hmm.
of those uniforms and have the power because I have a badge and I have a gun. You know,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, America, do better than that. Stop electing these morons, these racists, these sexists, these homophobes.
You know, and then over the weekend, there was that white supremacy group. They were called the Patriot Front. They marched on
mm-hmm.
Washington, D.C., and they were carrying, they had facial masks on. They all had navy blue shirts on and khaki pants. They were all dressed the same, but you couldn't see their faces. Most of them had sunglasses on, so they don't want anyone to see them, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
So that
mm-hmm.
makes them cowards in my eyes. They're cowards.
Mm-hmm.
They all carried a shield of some sort. Some had different decals on them, but they all carried a shield. There was about 200 of them, and they were chanting life, liberty, and victory. And this came just weeks after protesting devil worshiping convention Satan Con, whatever the hell that is. And then it says 200 members of the Patriot Front descended on D.C. A large police presence escorted the extremists along the National Mall. The far-right group previously clashed with Satan Con last month. I guess they worship Satan. I guess that's what they
mm-hmm.
are.
Mm-hmm.
Clashed. And then it said approximately 200 people advanced along the National Mall, flanked by police to keep the extremists separated from a small group of counter-protesters. And there was a man that got face-to-face. He was on his bike, and he was probably in his late 40s, early 50s is my guess. And he was mocking them because he said, are you afraid to show your face? You have a Walmart mask on, but you're afraid to show your face? I mean, he had a lot of guts, but the police were standing right next to him. But, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to go to their website, which I would never do, but I'll just read this. The white nationalist group calls its activism is intended to assert cultural independence founded in our European race. The Patriot Front made headlines last month when they descended on Satan Con in Boston, where the large satanic gathering, and which was the largest satanic gathering in history, saw furious
mm-hmm.
clashes between the far-right activists and the religious zealots. Oh, just this is
mm-hmm.
just peachy. Just great.
Yeah, these are the same people. These are the same people almost a year ago, remember, that they were in
mm-hmm.
Idaho and they got arrested near a pride event in Idaho. They were in
mm-hmm.
U-Hauls and
yep.
everything, and in these U-Hauls were
mm-hmm.
Multiple caches of weapons, high-powered weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to do a serious disruption to the LGBT people in Idaho because
yep.
they're against, you know, LGBTQ and everything. You know, do you notice, do you find it fascinating, though, that, you know, people like these are protected by the police, but when Black Lives Matter and women's group go out there and march, you know, and
mm-hmm.
Agitators who don't agree with them start conflict, you know,
mm-hmm.
They'd rather protect the asshole than the people who try to do right by protesting their women's movement and LGBTQ, Black Lives Matter, you know, so
mm-hmm.
it just brings me back to the point where I say, the police forces across the country are pro-white nationalists. because some of these people, these police forces, are white nationalists themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, and when they say the European race, you know exactly what they mean. And it's just, it's horrendous, you know? So the European race is basically white.
Yeah, but then again, we're all mixed with something one way or another in the United States. Nobody's pure black, nobody's pure white, nobody's pure anything.
Yeah, they don't see it that way. That's the point. You know, they see that their skin is white and they're better than anybody else. That's what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who raised these people, what kind of parents or life they had, but my God. It's sad.
Yeah, I guess, you know, their parents were racist themselves. So, you know, racism is taught, you know, it can't be. Racism is a part of it. Okay, so now, yeah, go ahead.
No, nothing. I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, yeah, so again, the idiot in Texas. He sent more migrants to the vice president's house. Sunday, he sent to the Washington residence of Kamala Harris, the vice president, days after the end of Title 42, the pandemic-era rule that allowed officials to quickly expel asylum seekers at the border. Governor Abbott sent a lot of people, a lot of immigrants, to Vice President Kamala Harris's office. I mean, not office, home. They started to arrive in D.C. near the Naval Observatory last week. And Abbott tweeted that Texas has busted from Texas 17,000 migrants to the sanctuary cities, more than 9,200 of them, of who went to Washington, D.C. So this is not the first time Greg Abbott has sent busloads of migrants to Harris's D.C. residency. Previously doing so last September and on Christmas Eve last year, Greg Abbott has repeatedly bused migrants to northern cities that he says are sanctuary cities, resulting in criticism from Democrats and local officials. Yeah, what do you think about that bitch move by him?
It's horrible. I mean... They think that these, you know, migrants are people. They don't treat them like people.
Mm-hmm.
They treat them like they're less human than they are, for sure, and garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair. You know, I watched a little bit some of them getting off the bus in different states where they were welcomed, and they have smiles on their faces, these little children. It's heartbreaking to watch. You know, and he just puts them on a bus, and who gives a shit what happens to them? He doesn't care. I mean, these people are afraid to put yourself in their shoes for a moment. You know, they're told to get on this bus. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where their next meal is going to be. They don't know where they're going to sleep. They have no idea. They just know that they came to this country for asylum. And now they're being shipped out to God knows where. Can you imagine that? I mean, I can't imagine it. It is so, it has got to be scarring too. I mean, it's got to be something that's hurtful to them. I just don't, I don't understand Abbott, how he can be so cruel. Of course, DeSantis has done the same thing.
Right.
So,
they use migrants as pawn for political purposes and everything.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is targeting cities with black mayors who are Democrats, of course. Like Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, for example. She took aim at Abbott, urging him not to send Chicago any more migrants. She reiterated at the time that Chicago has no more shelter, space, or resources to address another flow of migrants to the city. So, you know, we have to ask the question, whose money did Greg Abbott use to export these migrants out of Texas to these black cities with black mayors and to Washington, D.C., to Kamala Harris's residence? You know?
I,
you know?
He didn't pay for it. He didn't personally write a check for it. So I am sure that taxpayers paid for it. Who else?
Yeah. And, of course, the media, the quote-unquote liberal media, says nothing about it. Imagine if a Democrat did that. Hell would have break loose. That wouldn't end it. Speaking of DeSantis, he started a countdown to the 2024 announcement. Florida Governor DeSantis' political operatives on Monday is moving out of the Republican Party in Florida headquarters, where it has been housed since the end of 2022 midterm elections. And according to NBC News, who first reported that office move was coming last Friday, signaled DeSantis moving towards a presidential campaign. And moving trucks were spotted outside the Florida GOP building throughout the day Monday. So a party official confirmed the trucks were there to move DeSantis' political operations out of the building and into the new office space. So soon and very soon, we'll have Ron DeSantis officially announcing for president of the United States. Do you think one-on-one he can beat Donald Trump, or do you think, you know, with the field growing, that DeSantis will get lost in the mix and Donald Trump get the nomination again? Do you think he'll have a chance to?
No, his numbers have plummeted, absolutely plummeted, just recently. So do I think he has a chance? Let's put it this way. I believe that, first of all, he has no personality. He doesn't like people. You can just tell. He forces himself to smile. He doesn't look straight ahead when he's talking. He doesn't look at anyone in the eye. So those are all strikes, because people look at that. He has no charisma. And the other thing is he had any sort of guts, he would take a shot at Trump and say that Trump lost the election in 2020 fairly and squarely. But he won't say that either. None of them will say that.
Right.
They're all. So why would you want
Trump?
Pardon?
No. I was saying, Elaine and then Khalil, what's your thoughts on Ron DeSantis entering the presidential race in 2024 for the GOP? Elaine first.
Oh, let him make a fool of himself. Get the popcorn ready. That's how I feel about him. What else can you say about him?
I don't believe he will win, and I don't believe he should win because of the thing with the water situation. And not only that, but also Ron DeSantis, you know, he just doesn't seem like a person that cares. I've just gotten that feeling from him.
Everyone has that feeling from him. Everybody. You're not alone. He projects it every time, you know, he, I mean, he doesn't even, you know, if a reporter asks him a question, he bites their heads off. I mean, there you go right there, you know. He's, like I said, but I am also going to say that we never thought that Trump could be president. So we can never, ever, you know, say he can't be president. No. Absolutely not.
515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say first name, where you're calling from. Turn off all TVs and any background noise. Say first name when you call him. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's up, then?
It's Susan. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good, good.
Good.
For some reason, we're getting a bad feedback. You know, getting a lot of static.
Oh, for me?
Not sure, but, you know. Yeah, but go ahead, Susan. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, DeSantis today defunded diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at Florida colleges.
Yep.
Good. Isn't he wonderful? And I saw yesterday there was a video on one of the news shows that showed construction sites, road construction, houses, condos, all dormant with nobody working. It's because in Florida, he's blocking immigrants from working, and there's nobody doing a crappy job. And so they're all these construction people.
Hello? Okay, she got cut.
Hello, Sue. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's still there, but I don't know what happened. Yeah, I get a terrible feedback from Susie. Call back Susie. I don't know what the hell happened, but call back. She got cut off. Not our doing, but sorry about that. Yeah, she was making a point that in Florida now, Governor DeSantis is going to make it a law. It's a federal crime to hire immigrants without any documents.
Yeah.
And everything just comes to a grinding halt because nobody's going to construction sites. So it's at a standstill. Nobody's going in the field to pick fruit. So the fruit's getting rotten. You know, so you cut your nose off to spite your face to appease the 1% or whomever who support you. You know, Chinese people and people of Chinese descent can't buy property in Florida, and so too with Russian or Venezuelan. Only if you're white and American born can you buy property. This is a racist bullshit that's going on in Florida. Go ahead, Laurie.
Well, you know, the thing is that Florida is his model. If he can get away with what he's doing, you know, from banning books to you know, don't say gay, you know, his fight with Disney, what else did he do there? Their abortion ban. I mean, it's an array of things. If he can get away with all of that, and it seems like he's signing things on a daily basis, signing different legislation, that is not good for Florida or the country, that is basically a blueprint that you can look at and say, that's what the hell he's going to do to the rest of the country. That would be something that he would want to do to the rest of the country if he could get away with it. That's the scary part.
Yeah, and I think the reason why he gets away with it in Florida is because he has a legislature that is dominated by Republicans. The Florida House and the Florida Senate, Republican. You know, so it's just like a free check, a free reign to do whatever he wants. And, you know, he will sign these executive orders, the governor's executive orders, to, you know, do certain things if he doesn't get help from the legislature. You know, so... Florida, for the past 25 years, has been a one-party state, and Republicans has ran Florida in the ground. You know, and if by now people haven't learned that Republicans are the way they are and keep voting them back into power, then Florida's way continue to go down as garbage, you know, and the laughing stock of America, because they have Ron DeSantis as governor. Added to which, there's a Florida law, the Sunshine Law, stating that if you're known to one office, the office that you're currently serving, you have to demit. But because of Florida legislation is predominantly Republican, they changed the law, and DeSantis will sign it into law, saying that, you know, he can still be governor while pursuing the Republican nomination in 2024. Now, again, imagine if a Democrat had done that. You know, but hey, you know, Florida is Florida, and you know, whatever it will be, because the people in Florida just don't learn, especially in the Panhandle where I lived. Some real ignorant redneck racists were there, you know, and I don't miss Florida. Florida is a joke, is a sick, ridiculous joke. I'm telling you, Florida is just the pits, the dumps. Susie, are you there now? Can you hear me?
I'm there. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, long and
short. I don't know what happened. I just I dialed again. I was saying that another reason that DeSantis has got power, you never hear anybody in the news or the newspapers say anything against him because he'll prosecute them for criticizing him. So he doesn't get any feedback or anything. And did you hear the one that I told you about the colleges, right? Diversity, equity, and inclusion programs? Okay. And the videos of all the jobs that are sitting there idle because he won't allow immigrants to work. And that's the cheap labor that they need. So he's holding up a lot of money for a lot of businesses, and a lot of people are, you know, especially after the hurricanes and the floods.
Think about it. You know, if your house was destroyed and you have people working on your home, and all of a sudden they're out, they are gone. They have shown job sites. They're empty. No one working them in these job sites. So, yeah, and there's no one to pick the fruit.
And, sure. And then the roads, the construction of the roads. They're working on major highways, and they're all shut down.
Yeah. So he is basically, I don't know how he thinks that this is a winning strategy. How is it a winning strategy? Does anyone know?
He started with Disney, and he's beating up the rest of the country. I mean, the state, for sure.
Yeah.
And he can't be president. He wants to be dictator. That's what. He doesn't want to be president. He wants to be dictator.
Republicans in Florida are a joke. And, you know, I blame the Democratic Party in Florida for what's happening because, I'm not recalling the names, but what's happening in South Florida, for example, there's a real powerful machine in South Florida for the Democratic Party. You know, it's like a pay-to-play system where, hey, you know, I'll help you, but what can you do for me? You know, give me $10,000 and I can endorse you. And I could give you X amount of money. I could put these people to campaign with you and for you. You know, so it's a pay-for-play. And so when they nominated Charlie Crist for governor to run against DeSantis the last time, if you remember clearly, when he first ran for governor as a Republican, Charlie Crist called himself a Reagan Republican. How can the Democratic Party of Florida nominate a Reagan Republican, a diehard Reagan Republican? Charlie Crist's words, not mine.
You had
qualified people for that position to run against DeSantis, but because, you know, Charlie Crist have some money and have the connections and the organizations, South Florida Democratic Party, you know,
caved.
You know, he greased the palm, and, you know, one hand washed the other. So, yeah, I mean, that's why we have for the past 25 years Republicans running Florida, because the Democratic Party have a pay-to-play system. There's no, you know, grooming system where, you know, like, okay, you've been in this position. We have term limits. Then once term limits is over, we've been, like, showing this person the ropes and everything. So they can come in possibly as the House member or the Florida Senate member, you know, and continue to work what Democrats want to pursue. But no, it's a fiefdom system where, okay, I'm in this position. I'm in here for life because this is my seat, you know, and when the opportunities come up, boom, you all run for the Florida Senate. Okay, I give a friend here who have no business in politics, no experience in politics, but again, as I said, it's a pay-to-play system. And that's why Democrats in Florida keep losing because of certain people who are not there, because they all get sued. But people who are listening from Florida know exactly what I'm talking about. I hope they're calling. But please don't call in names because they all get sued. You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Florida Democrats are ridiculous. They're unorganized and it's a pay-to-play system. And, you know, everything just turned to shit because of greed. Agreed by certain people, which will remain nameless and everything. But moving right along.
Yes. Oh, can I would like to talk about CNN for a minute, because last night we spoke about CNN and the MAGA, you know, the MAGA show that they had on, and asking who controls CNN. And so I kind of looked it up, and CNN is now being controlled by John Malone, who is a Trump donor of Save America PACT. He's an American billionaire, businessman, landowner, and philanthropist. He was the CEO.
Wait, hold on. Somebody have the TV on. Can you turn it off, please? I'm getting feedback in the background. Please.
It's not me.
Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
What was I saying? He's an American billionaire, businessman, landowner, philanthropist. He was CEO of telecommunications, a cable and media giant, for 24 years, from 1973 to 1976. He said that the U.S., United States, needs another Fox News or something like it, because otherwise everything is leftist. And then the new CEO of CNN is Chris Licht. He's lobbied the GOP lawmakers, asking them how they can win back their trust. Isn't that sickening?
Oh, geez.
So that's a little background on CNN and why they are doing what they're doing now. So they are basically the new Fox. That's the only thing that's about it. So that's just terrible.
Yeah, and that's why that's why CNN's ratings are in the toilet and everything. There's no coming back for CNN, because they're shifted so far right that, you know, one could get giddy. If you watch CNN, you think you're watching Fox News. You know, it's quite disturbing. But the accomplishment of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, more people are at work at any point in American history, you know, as, you know, 11 million new jobs have been created since Joe Biden assumed office. And, you know, manufacturing jobs have been boosted by $750 new manufacturing jobs. The unemployment rate is at a 50-year low. There's a record number of small businesses that have started up since Joe Biden took office. Black Americans and Hispanic Americans have near record low unemployment rates, and people with disabilities are experiencing low unemployment rates, you know, and that's something to be proud of. Protecting marriage for LGBTQ and interracial couples, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris fought for that and defending that. And over 10 years ago, Biden announced his support for marriage equality to become the highest-ranking U.S. government official to do so at the time. He defends LGBTQ rights, women's rights, and also interracial marriage rights. Unlike Republicans who, you know, want to get rid of things like that, he has a stellar record. Another top accomplishment by Joe Biden administration, he's rebuilding the infrastructure of the country, and he forged a consensus with Republicans, even though none of them voted with it. He passed the bipartisan infrastructure law. That's a once-in-a-generation investment for our nation's infrastructure. And infrastructure really need, you know, help, because the last time infrastructure was done was in the 1950s when Eisenhower was president. You know, so there's that. Bridges breaking down, buildings falling apart. We need infrastructure. And for Republicans now in this debt ceiling fight to want to bring back infrastructure money and not, you know, invest in infrastructure, it's just lunacy. I don't know why people don't open their eyes and understand that we need infrastructure and not tax cuts for the wealthy, who don't pay taxes to begin with. You know?
Yep.
It's illogical. Yep. It's stupid. But I digress. Yeah. I digress.
It's true.
What are your thoughts, Elaine?
On what?
infrastructure. Republicans trying to like take away infrastructure money for the Build Back Better program by Joe Biden that was passed. They wanted to give
was my impression of that? So they can turn the narrative around and say Joe Biden doesn't want to fix the roads.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically believe it. Because they're good at marketing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to learn how to market.
Mm-hmm.
And and you know, we've discussed how many people, 99% of the media is owned by Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame that they aren't the old-fashioned Republicans. This is the newfound Republican Party, and it's scary. They're white supremacists.
Susan, your thoughts?
That's why they don't want to fund the infrastructure, so they can blame Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that, because infrastructure helps all businesses, big corporations, the trains, the railroads, interstate roads and all that stuff. It's and the bridges. They're all to help commerce move. And why wouldn't you want to do that? Doesn't make any sense.
No, Susan, what their idea is that they would put a stall on it for the next couple years, then they would get another Republican in, and then it would be, what do you want, businessman?
Mm-hmm.
Then you would see infrastructure go hog wild.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about if they would do that. I don't think they care, because they don't even care about the environment. They only care about drill, baby, drill. That is it. So I don't know if they would invest in infrastructure. They never have. They don't have a plan.
They've got too many businesses that would rely on it, and they're heavy donors. I'm sure they've sat back and had some think tanks on it. We can wait 2 years, and when you get in, this is what we want. We want this, this, and this. I wish I could be a fly on the wall to know what it is that they have cut a deal on. Think about it with evil in your heart. It's hard to do because we're not evil, but try to turn yourself around as if you were them. Be on a debating team, and your teacher told you you have to be on the opposite side. Slow infrastructure down for 2 years and get a Republican in office. Get a House and get a Senate that's Republican. Then we can do what we want.
Yeah, we need to win the House, the Senate, the presidency. And we need to expand the Supreme Court as well.
All of the courts.
They have average person. And they will have slave labor, because there will be no jobs out there, and you'll be so hungry you'll work for peanuts.
Yep, and that's what they want.
And they're making record profits. I mean, they're just gouging. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for it. You think that the potato chips bags are going to get bigger? They made them small, remember? And the candies are smaller, and everything is smaller. The boxes are smaller. You think they're going to turn around and make them bigger for the same amount of money or less money? Hell no. They're making all kinds of money off of it. Medicine, you name it. They're just gouging. Gas, there's no reason for it to be as high as it is. Now, you know, they said they're going to replenish what Biden took off in the emergency. They're going to put it back, and the gas price now is down some, so it won't be as bad a hit to the economy, but it's still awful.
But the thing is, but it's also supply and demand, because we are now in May. Pretty soon, it's going to be a holiday weekend. We're into summer. People are going to be traveling, and they're going to be, you know, going on vacations, and this is when they raise their prices. We all know that. And, you know, and President Biden does not have any control over them raising their gas prices, because demand is going to be higher, so they see dollar signs, and that's exactly how it's always been. We all know that. I mean, this is nothing
up here, we're tourists, right? When we know Memorial Weekend, gas prices go up, and we're screwed until Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they
know,
go
so the workers
well.
Got to pay, the mm-hmm. regulars mm-hmm. pay, but they're gouging the tourists.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so, I mean, how do you fight that? I mean, you know,
yeah,
we have
I know.
No regulation.
Unless it's a dictator telling them not to, they're not
exactly.
going to stop.
You know, we have a capitalist
mm-hmm.
country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about making
mm-hmm.
money in this country. That's the prime thing.
Yep.
The prime goal
rapacious.
Of this country is
rapacious.
To make money.
Capitalism is rapacious. Capitalism
yeah.
is rapacious. So Joe Biden, he signed into law the PACT Act, the most significant expansion of benefits and services
mm-hmm.
for toxic exposed veterans for more than 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
The law also enables the Department of Veterans Affairs to move money quickly in the future to determine if illnesses are related to military service and offers critical support to survivors who were harmed by burn pit exposure. You know, so that's another thing that the Biden-Harris administration got passed and helping people overcome illness and giving them help that they need. Gun violence, the first meaningful gun violence reduction legislation in 30 years. Joe Biden did that. The confirmation of the Supreme Court Justice Khadijah Brown Jackson and federal judges of diverse background. So you have a gay judge here, a woman judge there, a black judge in the Supreme Court who's a woman, first time. You know, so he's for diversity. Unlike Donald Trump and Republicans, where almost every cabinet member, Donald Trump, was a white male who
mm-hmm.
had a history of working against the department that they lead, you know, and Betsy DeVos as Department of Education Secretary. She knows
mm-hmm.
nothing about departmental education or education in general.
No.
So you
absolutely.
Know, and
no, she wanted to throw the school system to be private under religious schools. That's all she
mm-hmm.
wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And remember, it was Joe Biden who rallied the world to support Ukraine in response to Putin's aggression, Russia attacking Ukraine and bombing them. He strengthened an alliance and partnership to deliver for the American people. President Biden approached the world to advance our interests and values. He built back our reputation after 4 years of Donald Trump. That's not a small feat by any means. He provided
mm-hmm.
reassurance and support to allies in NATO, particularly in the eastern flank, where, you know, a lot of former Soviet blocs want to join NATO. And he has generated congressional support for the ascension of two new states, Sweden and Finland, to join NATO. That's a first in as a U.S. president doing that. You know, and he,
the orange monster wanted to see NATO dissolve. Remember, he did everything he
mm-hmm.
could to ruin
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And
mm-hmm.
we're still
mm-hmm.
paying for his tariff bullshit that he did. And
mm-hmm.
They just had a thing up here on blueberry farmers are being charged tariffs because of the idiot. And it's costing
that's,
them money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did y'all hear about the executive order that protects women's rights that Joe Biden signed?
No.
Yeah. I heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It includes abortion and contraception and safeguard patient privacy and sensitive health care information that has been made clear that his commitment to fighting any attack by a state or local official who attempts to interfere with women exercising their constitutional right to travel out of state for medical care. He signed an executive law, you know, surpassing any state law that a woman can be persecuted or prosecuted for going out of state
mm-hmm.
to get an abortion or any type of health care coverage that she needs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing.
It's a very
yeah.
good thing.
You know,
I wish
Biden
they would
that.
Protect the poor doctors, too, because when a woman
mm-hmm.
goes in and she's miscarrying and the baby's dead inside her and rotting away, they
mm-hmm.
can't help her
mm-hmm.
because they're afraid they'll lose their medical license or go to jail. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
so that's,
ending,
that's a good deal.
Yeah, ending the
ending the failed approach to dealing with marijuana. Many states have legalized recreational marijuana and also medicinal marijuana. So those people who have been put in prison for years, you know, he's working on a plan to get nonviolent criminals out of prison and to be productive members of society again. You know,
yeah.
Republicans, Trump and Republicans are fighting against that. Why? Because the prison industrial complex funnel money to Republican candidates who do their bidding. Just like the NRA, just like Big Tobacco, just like Big Oil, you know, Republicans are in their pockets. They don't care about people.
Nope.
Joe Biden administration is for the advancement of equality and racial justice, including doing something serious in terms of criminal justice reform. Like I say, across America, the disparity between black and brown people getting more time when they do a crime. That, for example, if a white person have an 8-ball, he gets 9 months probation, or 2 years probation, 9 months in jail. Well, a brown person or a black person will get 10 years plus probation.
Yep.
And you have to serve all
yep.
10 years. No, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris trying to change that, you know, system, you know, which is a good thing. And Republicans, again, are against that.
Yeah, it needs to be changed.
Another thing wrong with
exactly.
the jail system is that the poor people give them fines and bail and all that they can't put up, and so then they sit in jail, and then they lose their jobs, or they can't pay their mortgage, they lose their house while they're waiting for the trial or whatever to happen, and it costs a fortune, so they're screwed from the get-go before they even go to trial. They're, like, penalized before anything happens. That's crazy.
A person that serves time in jail has to pay all the money back. They not only receive our tax dollar,
really.
But when a person gets out of jail, they have to pay for room and board.
That's crazy.
I had no idea.
That's what happened when the jails became privatized.
I can see.
I bet you they're making a lot of money.
They're thrown back in jail because they aren't able to pay. They aren't able to pay their bill when they get out of jail.
Yeah.
And they throw them back in jail.
It's a revolving door.
And if you got money and get a big lawyer and put up the bail and all that stuff, you're out.
Like Santos did. Sickening.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, we know the average person doesn't have that kind of money.
Yeah, a next accomplishment by Joe Biden. Go ahead. You're saying something else. I'm sorry.
No, I was just.
Over 16 million Americans have signed up for quality, affordable health care coverage, the highest number ever produced in an open enrollment period. Joe Biden did that. So the president took action to lower costs in healthcare for millions of Americans. And since he's been in office, over 16 million people has been enrolled, new people. 4 out of 5 people who sign up for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act can find healthcare coverage for $10 a month or less. And millions of Americans on Obamacare saving an average of $800 a year. And the Republican plan, what they say since Mitt Romney ran for president, oh, just elect us. We have a health care plan for you. Just elect us. Trust us. No. Tell us what you want to do, and, you know, that's when you get elected. But no, up to now, we cannot see any health care plan by Republicans.
No. They've not,
you know,
they
that's
haven't
all
come
dishonest
up with
there.
Yet. Yeah. They've not come up with one yet. They've been trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act since President Obama put it in place, and do they have something better to replace it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Mm-mm.
You know, the only thing that their agenda, in my opinion, boils down to a nationwide abortion bill, higher prices for drugs, less money for Social Security and Medicare, raising taxes on the middle class, and suppressing the vote. That's what the Republican Party stands for.
And not taking
opinion.
Care of our veterans either.
Yes, screwing over veterans. You know, this plan that Republicans have with McCarthy will cut veterans' benefits by 22%. That's not right.
Yeah.
Because a lot of veterans out there are homeless. They're on drugs. They need help.
Yeah.
They're suffering.
Yep.
And the Republicans want to cut 22%.
They had to go and make a big protest just for that, breathing in the burn pits. And then also the 9/11 people that were in there and breathed in all that crap. They had to go and do major fighting to get what they had coming, for Christ's sake.
Absolutely.
Terrible. Anybody who fought for this country deserve at least a home and a good pension, you know? And Republicans claim that they're for the military. Fuck you, Republicans. You're full of shit. Anyway, the Inflation Reduction Act is a historic legislative achievement that lowers costs for families, combats the climate crisis, which Republicans don't believe in. I think it's a liberal hoax. It reduces the deficit and finally makes the largest corporations pay their fair share. So Inflation Reduction Act, for the first time, Medicare is able to negotiate the price of certain high-cost drugs. A month supply of insulin for seniors is capped at $35. But Republicans wanted to make it how much? I don't know, some exorbitant, crazy amount. And Medicare beneficiaries pay $0 out of pocket for recommended adult vaccines, and seniors' out of pocket expenses at the pharmacy will be capped at $2,000 a year. So thanks to President Biden and his actions, including a historic release of a strategic petroleum reserves, gas prices are down more than $1.60 from the summer peak of 2022. You know, so he's trying his best, you know, to lower gas prices, which he has no control over, to lower prescription drug costs for the elderly, to cut student debt loan and forgive student debt loans. You know, all these good things. Republican plan, cut taxes for the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to help middle-class American working families in America? And again, put out there, sorry for saying this again, why do people, especially the women and minorities and LGBTQ people, vote Republican? You're voting against the economic interests, and basically Republicans hate you. Stop voting Republican. Stop being stupid.
I can't understand why a rich country like we are doesn't have basic health care for everyone like they have in Europe and a lot of other countries. It doesn't make any sense. We've got nothing. They have child care. You go to college for free, and your education and preschool and all that is all taken care of. And they still make a living and live a good life. Plus, they take care of old folks in nursing homes and stuff. Why can't we do that?
Greed and money and power. There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's socialism. And socialism to them equates communism, which is two different systems, by the way. You know?
Yeah,
so,
they're full of crap.
Yeah, we're Islamo-fascist, you know, communist. That's their words, not mine, you know. And those three philosophies basically hate each other, you know. So Republicans, again, with the media soundbites and the people out there who are ignorant, really, and don't know what they're talking about because they're not educated. They don't, you know, go to different news sources to get information. The stick of Fox News. Of course, Fox News are masters at, you know, the sound bites, the media sound bites, and stoking the fear, you know, that, oh, these bad Democrats, these evil Democrats who eat babies and abort babies at 9 months and all that good stuff. You know, wake up, people. Wake up, wake up, wake up. You can do better than this. Think for yourself. People in Kentucky, since 1984, been keep voting for Mitch McConnell. What has Mitch McConnell done for you? Not a damn thing. What has he done for the corporation? You know, when Mitch McConnell went in there in 1984, he's one of the poorest people in Congress, the entire Congress. No, he's the second richest person in Congress. How does that happen? Seriously, how does that happen?
Marjorie Taylor
Greene, Lauren Boebert, can go through the list.
He
gets a lot and paid for it.
Yep. That's the
like
lottery.
We all are.
Right there. Oh, the other thing that Biden and his administration did, they have signed legislation to reauthorize and strengthen the Violence Against Women Act, which is very important.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, when are you going to give us equal rights amendment, get paid for doing the same job at the same pay?
Signed an executive order on improving public safety and criminal justice for Native Americans and addressing the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people. That was done as well.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great.
They signed an executive order to encourage competition across industries. I mean, none of this is being talked about at all.
No, and they were talking about the reason that corporations can charge so much because they're a monopoly. There's only 2, 3, 4 pharmaceuticals that make all the medicine. There's only three meat producers and all that stuff, you know, and they can charge what the hell they want.
Yes,
there's
they
no
can.
Competition.
Absolutely.
Look at all the stores that are closing.
Oh, yeah.
One after another. And now,
Elian, what do you think about Bed Bath and Beyond? The Michael guy claiming that, you know, because they took out his product out of Bed Bath and Beyond, that they're going bankrupt and have to close all of it. Isn't that preposterous?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. That is hysterical.
You know?
He has the nerve to say that.
Mike Lindell, yes, he said it when? Two days ago.
It's because, that's crazy. It's because people can get things from Amazon the same day now. They can't compete. And that is just what happened. You know, Amazon is basically taken over. And I'm not an Amazon fan. I'm really not. If I'm forced to get something because I can't find it elsewhere, I will do that. Mm-hmm. But I still like going into the stores and looking and touching and, you know, supporting small business, all of that. But that is not what that is not what capitalism has become.
No.
It's all about,
okay, wrap up time now. We just have over 10 minutes. Starting with Lori and then Elaine and then Susie. Do you think tomorrow's meeting will be successful between Speaker McCarthy and Joe Biden in terms of a compromise and coming to a solution for the debt crisis, the debt ceiling crisis? Lori?
Do I think it'll happen tomorrow? No, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some comments that McCarthy made today, and he's adamant at what he wants. He has his marching orders, and he cannot go back and face his MAGA supporters. He can't let them down because, like you said earlier, David, they will retaliate and he will probably no longer be speaker. So, no, it won't happen tomorrow. But do I think Joe Biden will win at the end? President Biden, do I think he'll win at the end? Yes. I think the only thing that President Biden might compromise on is the COVID relief money. I think there's a few billion in there that, you know, businesses never claimed and they really, you know, now COVID is over with. We don't really need it. I wouldn't mind if that went back, you know, if that was rescinded. That would be okay. But that's about the only thing that I would say he would compromise on if he's going to compromise at all. So that's my two cents.
Elaine, right? Elaine, what do you think?
I don't think anything's going to happen tomorrow, but Joe Biden's got some magic trick up his sleeve somewhere. So let's just keep the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Susan,
all
your thoughts?
I think they will eventually make the deadline because, you know, they're going to come out and say, hey, Trump did it three times in a row and never squawked. And if it goes in default, all the corporations, all the banks are going to go to shit. And they don't want that on their head. So it's going to it's a power play right now, all for show. But it's going to happen, I think. I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing they should cut is paychecks for all this Congress. If they don't pass it, why should they get a paycheck?
That's right.
Exactly. You have a good point there. Yes, yes. I mean, I'd love to see a congressperson or a U.S. senator spend 1 month in a working class family and try to survive. They wouldn't survive not even a week, much less three, four days. You know,
and
they wouldn't be able
medical.
To do it.
Cut their medical coverage, and they don't get a pension, and they don't get insurance forever.
Yeah.
And see what they do.
Yeah.
Oh,
they probably scream blood and murder.
Well, you would see things change quickly. You really would.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the terrible whole thing. It's all about them.
Mm-hmm. Clarence Thomas, this is the last topic now, because we have limited time. Clarence Thomas, do you think he'll resign or do you think that he'll get away with it because there's no oversight?
No, he's not going to get away with it. I think that pressure is going to mount. They are doing things. They're going to introduce a bill tomorrow. Dick Durbin is working on a plan as well. So no, they're not going to. They have to have some kind of ethics. They have to. They're the Supreme Court, but they're not supreme. They're not above, you know, everybody and everything like they think they are. They're not above the law, so to speak. No, I do think that he will not resign, but I think he's going to feel a lot of pressure. Maybe they'll make him resign. I don't know. That's a tough one. Because you would think that by now, with everything that's come out in the media of all the millions of dollars and the trips and, you know, the privileges that he's been given all these years.
And what Ginny's doing.
Yes. And you think he would be embarrassed? He's not even embarrassed, I don't think. So. No, he's not going to step down.
Yeah, there's no nobody watching the Supreme Court that can do and say anything with no repercussions. But we'll see how this plays out and everything. All right, listen, Khalil, Elaine, and Susan, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
And making contributions and everything.
Have a good night,
appreciate
you
when you call. Yes, man, you too. And thank you, everybody, also, for, tuning in, checking out the website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We have some good, interesting articles out there and more articles coming in the coming days. The debt ceiling fight looms. Will there be compromise or will there be a government shutdown? I feel that there will be a government shutdown because Republicans want to see this economy crash so they could jump on the bandwagon and say Joe Biden doesn't know what he's doing. And because Republicans don't get their way, they want their way 99.99% of the times when they don't get their own way, they do a tantrum. And we saw the last three government shutdowns, how that worked out for them. It didn't work out properly. You know, so it's about...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I also think that he may implement the 14th Amendment as a last.
Okay.
Sure, but it's being talked about.
Yes. Yeah. So Republicans for 2024, dog eats a supper. There's no way millennials and Generation Z and people in Generation X, some of us who have sense, will vote for you. It's going to be a political bloodbath for you Republicans. You know, you want to talk about woke? Yeah. You're going to feel woke full force 2024. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody, for calling in, tuning in. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Monday, May 15, 2023, Season 5, Episode 2, Default or No Default, The Looming Question. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good evening, and we'll see you on Sunday. Bye now.
Drinking rum or whiskey. Now won't you have a double with me? I'm sorry, I'm a little late. I got your message, by the way. I'm calling in sick today. We just got water. We just got water. We just got water. We just got water.
Thank you.